Our scripture reading this morning will come from a couple places. The first place is from the book of Philippians, something you're very familiar with here at this congregation. But I'll be reading a little portion of Philippians, first from chapter 2, and then a little bit from chapter 4, and then we'll jump over to Philemon, the first three verses of Philemon. So let's start in Philippians chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 19 through 24. Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 24. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things are going with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. Then if you move to chapter 4, the first three verses. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. And then turning to the book of Philemon, chapter 1, and I'll be reading the first three verses of Philemon chapter 1. Philemon comes right before Hebrews. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus the reading of God's word as it comes to us from the books of Philemon and Philippians. Well, there are many who look at the beginning of Paul's letters and say that they seem to be very unimportant. After all, the only thing the Apostle Paul is doing is introducing himself as the author and then addressing those to whom the letter is sent. And for many, this is seen as a mere formality, something which to read and quickly move on to the good stuff. But as we saw in our series on the book of Philippians, Paul's salutations, the introductions to his letters, are a whole study within themselves. In fact, once you look at the structure of them and take particular note of the names that he has mentioned, you will see just how rich these salutations are. In fact, most often in Paul's salutations, he begins and pretty much states his whole point and purpose of his letter. The book of Philemon is no different. As Paul begins this letter, as he writes his salutation, he has in mind, by the way he has structured it, the entire purpose of this letter and what he wants to say. The Apostle Paul has written 13 letters that we have included in our New Testaments. In three of these letters, he mentions Timothy, our brother, at the very beginning. In the book of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul begins his letter with this. He states, Paul, the apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. In the book of Colossians, where the apostle is writing to a church that very likely is the same place that the letter of Philemon is being sent, the apostle starts in the same way he began the letter to 2 Corinthians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. These are two of the letters where the apostle begins identifying Timothy as our brother. And the third book of Paul's 13 letters that begins with this way is the book of Philemon, where Paul now begins by saying, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. Now you notice there's a difference. Of the three letters where Paul begins with Timothy, our brother, Philemon is the only letter that begins, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. The other two letters, Paul is introduced as Paul the apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Philemon begins with Paul taking note that he is a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Now, last week's sermon, we focused on the meaning of what that is, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. That Paul recognizes that Christ is the conqueror. Christ has conquered him. As Paul was out on the road to Damascus, he was on the wrong side of the army of Jesus Christ. He was out destroying the church and killing believers. And Jesus met him on that road in Acts 9, the resurrected Christ, and changed his life. And now, as Paul has reflected on the Roman armies returning from battle and the prisoners that they have conquered trailing behind, so does Paul trail behind the Lord Jesus Christ, who has won the victory in his resurrection from the grave, and has now captured him as a prisoner of whom Paul serves. But as we look at the beginning of this letter, and we see Paul a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy our brother, there is a humility coming out in Paul. The other two letters begin Paul describing himself as Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Being an apostle was a privileged office. There were not too many of them. The qualifications for being an apostle was that you had witnessed the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ firsthand. The disciples had witnessed the resurrected Jesus Christ as he came into the room in which they were in Luke. We see the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9 meeting the resurrected Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And so Paul, as one of those chosen few apostles, holds this special office. And the reason he begins so many of his letters describing himself as Paul the apostle of Christ Jesus is so that the people will recognize that this letter comes with authority. It comes as the written word of God that only Paul the apostle could write by the hand of the Holy Spirit, which equips him to do it. Now, Paul could have taken a lot of pride in his office. There weren't too many of them. And an apostle has great authority. Jesus Christ appeared to him and gave him a specific task: to preach the gospel throughout the world. What a privilege that is. But as Paul begins the letter to Philemon, he has a different purpose. He doesn't write Paul the apostle of Christ Jesus like he did in those other two letters. He describes himself now as a prisoner to Christ Jesus. And why is it so important that Paul describes himself as a prisoner of Christ Jesus? Because Paul the apostle, who could be exalted by his office as an apostle, is not going to exalt himself in this letter. In fact, Paul never sought to exalt himself. But as you look at the beginning, Paul identifies himself as one who is under the authority of Christ, as one who is inferior to his Lord. The apostle recognizes that Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, has come down to this earth, has died for him, has paid for his sins. And Paul identifies himself as a prisoner, one who is inferior to the Son of God. And now as Paul writes his letter, and he begins by saying, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, right next to his own name, he puts Timothy, our brother. Now, some have wondered, why is it that Paul includes Timothy, our brother? Some have said, well, maybe as Paul begins this letter, he's helping people recognize that perhaps in his older age, Timothy had to help him write this letter. After all, as you look at the beginning of this letter and it says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, it seems as if this letter is coming from both of them. But if you drop down to verse 19, Paul tells us this: I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. So in verse 19, Paul tells us that Timothy is not the author of this letter, and Timothy has not helped him write the words of this letter. So why then include Timothy next to Paul as his brother? Why make the letter begin with the appearance that somehow Paul and Timothy are on the same level? That Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, who has alone the authority to write such a letter and to send it as the apostle of Christ Jesus, could put Timothy's name and give the impression that somehow Timothy might be an apostle too. Timothy is not an apostle. He did not have a firsthand witness of the resurrected Jesus Christ. Yet here we see his name next to Paul, as Timothy, our brother. Why? Why begin the letter in this way? The apostle begins the letter in this way to exalt Timothy. Paul is an apostle and could have exalted in his own office, but instead he begins by describing his superior, Christ Jesus, who is over him the inferior, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. And Paul the prisoner is now has his name next to Timothy, his inferior, and right next to Timothy, Paul the prisoner. Paul seeks to exalt Timothy, the one under him. Paul seeks to exalt him as next to him, not that he is an apostle, but giving the appearance that he is like an apostle. It is as if Paul, the superior, makes himself inferior so that Timothy looks greater, so that Timothy is exalted. So that Timothy, his brother, who he writes in the book of Philippians, is like a son to him, like a father and a son, is being exalted as Paul begins his letter. A superior exalting an inferior. Where did Paul learn that from? He learned that from Christ, who is superior, and came to die for the inferior, Paul, and all sinners, and has resurrected so that they might be exalted. That's what Paul's doing. Now you ask yourself, why the big deal about this, Pastor? We spent all this time on this as we began the sermon. How does this fit in with the book of Philemon and what God has to say to us? Well, if you go on and look at the next few words, you'll see. Paul sends this letter to Philemon, our dear friend, my version says, and fellow worker. Now, the translation there, dear friend, the Greek word is actually loved. To Philemon, loved and fellow worker. Bible translators, wanting to avoid the confusion, have translated it differently, and I believe that the King James Version and the NRSV do a better job when they choose the word beloved. To Philemon, beloved and fellow worker. Now, Philemon was a wealthy man. Philemon, we're told at the end of verse 1, hosts the church in his house. He evidently had a fairly large house to be able to host a church in it. We also know from this letter that Philemon had slaves, and only the wealthy could have slaves. In the eyes of society, Philemon is a superior. In the eyes of society, Philemon is a wealthy man. But Paul writes to Philemon, and the first thing that he describes him as is beloved. We don't know for sure whether Paul even met Philemon. Paul never went to the city of Colossae. The church was started by someone else that had been blessed by Paul's preaching. And at the end of this letter, Paul seems to want to go there and to meet Philemon and stay in his home. We're not sure he ever did that. Yet as this letter begins, Paul describes him as beloved. Why does Paul describe a man who he may have never even met as beloved? We'll go back to the book of Philippians. When we read from Philippians 4, Paul describes the saints in Philippi as his beloved. Philippians 4, verse 1, therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, beloved. Now, I'm reading from the NIV, and some of you may have the words turned around differently. But the point is that Paul uses the word to describe the Philippian saints, the same word he uses for Philemon. And his description of his beloved in Philippians 4 is lengthy. Not only does he call them the beloved, he calls them his joy and his crown, that they should stand firm in the Lord, whom he loves and longs for. The reason Paul describes the Philippians as his beloved is because of the service that has taken place. The apostle has gone into their town and risked his life. As he brought the message of the gospel, as they heard the message of the gospel, they came into this town, and the apostle Paul almost stirred up a riot by his preaching. He was beaten and flogged and thrown out of the city and asked to leave. Paul almost gave his life for these saints. So much has he loved them. And the saints, in turn, have responded to Paul by offering gifts and sending him money to help him in his time of need. There is a mutual love that is going on between the apostle and the saints. They have demonstrated their love for him and their love for Christ by being willing to give him what he needs and demonstrating their love for the saints. Well, what about Philemon? If you go on to verse 5 of Philemon, Paul writes this, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for the saints. Paul thanks God and remembers Philemon in his prayers. Why? Because Philemon, this wealthy man, has demonstrated his love for the saints. In verse 7, Paul tells him, "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints." Paul describes Philemon as his beloved because Philemon, as a superior, as a wealthy man, has demonstrated his love for all of the saints. Philemon has used his position not to exalt himself, but to seek to demonstrate his love to the saints, his love to the church, his love to Christ. For how could he exalt in himself and take glory in all his possessions when he knows what his Savior has accomplished for him? His Savior, who has given himself and his life for him, the very Son of God. Now Philemon has given evidence in his life of this same kind of love for the saints, this same kind of love for Christ. And Paul describes him as his beloved. Well, not only does Paul describe him as his beloved, but you see there that the next thing that Paul uses to describe him is his fellow worker. Now, what does this mean for Philemon, described as a fellow worker of Paul? Does it mean that Philemon was ordained? Does he mean that Philemon was an elder or perhaps a lay preacher who went around preaching the word of God? Since it was held, the church was held in his church, maybe he was a leader in that church. We'll go down to verse 24. As Paul concludes his letter, he sends greetings to Philemon and he writes, "And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers." These are those who have followed the apostle all throughout the world. Luke is described as one of Paul's fellow workers, the author of the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. Demas and Aristarchus and Mark have traveled throughout the world as Paul's fellow workers, serving him as he preaches the gospel. And now as Paul is in Rome, they sit there with him, his apostolic band. And now Paul describes Philemon, a man who perhaps he has not even met, as a fellow worker. Philemon is described on a par with Luke. What is Paul doing when he describes Philemon this way? We'll go back again to the book of Philippians. Now, we asked ourselves a minute ago, Philippians 4, is Philemon an ordained man? Is he a preacher? Some people have taken this passage in Philemon, have used it to say, look, we're all fellow workers, we're all preachers, we can all do the work of Christ. But look at verse 2 and 3 of Philippians 4. Therefore I plead with Euodia, I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Euodia and Syntyche are two women who are at each other's throats in the church at Philippi. And Paul goes on in verse 3 to say, yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Paul describes Euodia and Syntyche as fellow workers, these women in the church of Philippi. When Paul uses the term fellow workers, he's not using it to describe an ordained man or an elder or a preacher. He's using it to describe those who are serving alongside of him and serving in the cause of Christ. And Euodia and Syntyche are at each other's throats, and what they want is Paul to write that he agrees with one or the other so that one will be exalted over the other. But Paul instead uses both of their names in order to exalt each one. He's mentioned both. He's not taking sides. And as fellow workers, they need to agree with each other and continue in the work of the gospel. Well, now when you come to Philemon, Paul describes him as a fellow worker. Not necessarily because he's a preacher, not because he's an elder. Paul describes him as a fellow worker in order to exalt him. Philemon is a man exalted in society. He's wealthy. He has a big house. He has slaves. Now Philemon is exalted by Paul the Apostle as a fellow worker, one equal to Luke and his apostolic band that follows him around and serves with him. Paul has identified Philemon and exalted Philemon at the beginning of this letter. Why? The answer is found in verse 16. Actually, we'll start verse 15. Perhaps the reason Onesimus, his slave, was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. Now notice in the middle of that verse the words that are used to describe Onesimus, Philemon's runaway slave. His dear or beloved brother. Timothy is described as a brother. Onesimus, Philemon's runaway slave, who deserves punishment as a runaway slave, is described as a brother. In this letter to Philemon, that puts Onesimus the slave on a par with Timothy, our brother. Timothy, who is right next to the Apostle Paul, who has witnessed the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ himself. Onesimus, the lowly runaway slave. And Paul describes Philemon as his beloved. What a privilege to be described by the Apostle Paul as one of his beloved. Paul, who has witnessed the resurrected Jesus, Paul, who is in prison, singles you out as one of his beloved. Well, so is Onesimus, an inferior to Philemon, who is a superior. Do you see how Paul already begins in his salutation the purpose of this whole entire letter? Jesus Christ is his superior. Jesus, who is resurrected from the grave and sits in the throne room of God in heaven. And Paul, the apostle, is described by himself as a prisoner, not the great apostle. For Jesus is superior because Jesus is the Son of God, but the superior has given his life for the inferior, Paul the sinner, Paul the apostle. Paul, in turn, exalts Timothy, his inferior, his very son. Paul the superior exalts Timothy, the inferior, as a brother, putting his name next to his. And now in this letter, Paul wants Philemon, the superior, the man wealthy in society, the man considered a fellow worker and beloved by the apostle himself. He asks the superior to receive his slave, Onesimus, the inferior, as a beloved brother in the Lord. Why would Philemon do this? Because Philemon recognizes that his superior, Jesus Christ has given his life for Philemon the inferior, the sinner, to exalt him, so should Philemon have mercy on Onesimus, his slave, demonstrating that Onesimus, the brother, belongs to Christ and serves him too. The book of Philemon speaks to the church, doesn't it? It speaks about superiors exalting their inferiors. It speaks to church members to recognize that no member of the church is less than another. No one, by how much money they make, or how they live, or what they do, is inferior to anyone else in Christ. It speaks to the officers of the church, those whom Christ has exalted by making them officers and giving them a position to serve in the church, to not exalt in their position, but to treat those under their care with attitudes and behavior that exalts them, just as Christ has treated us in his attitude and behavior towards us by exalting us. This speaks to families, to husbands who are heads of homes put there by Christ, to treat their wives who can't be heads of homes with attitudes and behaviors that exalts them and not themselves. When we look to Christ, he does not treat us as inferior, though he is the very Son of God. His attitude towards us, his behavior towards us, is one of self-sacrificing love. That's how we as a church need to demonstrate our love, our behavior, our attitudes towards those around us, towards those whom we have authority over, so that they may see in us the Savior who has given himself for us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the message of Philemon. We thank you especially for the humbleness of the apostle who reflects the love of his Savior. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who has died for us, who is far superior to any of us as sinners, yet treats us and exalts us, though we have turned from him so often. We pray that you would help us to demonstrate the love of Christ, to treat the others around us as Christians, as brothers, to treat those under our care, under our authority, with attitudes and behavior that can only reflect the pure love of Christ that has been given us. May we, as your people, learn from the book of Philemon what it means to accept and to love because Christ has loved us. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.